In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. John, I was hoping that you were going to be humming the tune as we came back up. As we began our service this morning, we prayed the collect for the third Sunday of Advent. And in doing so, we acknowledged to God that we are sorely hindered by our sins. Those are the words found in the collect that we pray each year on this Sunday. We are sorely hindered by our sins. In other words, we are people in need of a Savior. We are people in need of God's grace and mercy. And so during Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the coming into the world, the one who would free us from sin, this week, we each year remind ourselves that we need this good news of a Savior, because of the bad news of our sinfulness, our brokenness. The bad news is that we fall short. The good news is that God is merciful and that He has provided us mercy and grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Our readings, therefore, on this Sunday contain bad news and good news. But unlike the many bad news, good news jokes that we have all heard, unlike those jokes, the good news in today's scripture is truly good. And instead of being overshadowed by the bad, the good news that we receive from scripture actually overcomes that bad news. Our Old Testament reading this Sunday comes from the concluding verses of the short three-chapter book of Zephaniah, which is one of the books of the minor prophets that is found near the end of the Old Testament. As we heard in the concluding Song of Joy, which it is known as, the book of Zephaniah ends on an extremely joyful, redemptive, and hopeful note. However, if you were to read, or as we did in Sunday school earlier this morning, read part of those 2.5 chapters that precedes today's lesson, you would hear Zephaniah sounding a whole lot more like John the Baptist. In the first chapter of the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah describes a coming judgment for the people of Israel because of their wickedness. A day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, is what Zephaniah describes. This emphasis on sin, wickedness, and judgment continues throughout the second and third and the beginning of, throughout the first, second, and third, and beginning of the third chapter. But then in the midst of the third chapter, in the final verses that we just heard, just before the final verses that we just heard, there is a description of a time of repentance and turning back to God, in which the voices of all people, both near and far, will call upon the name of the Lord and serve Him with one accord. And right after that description of a day or a time of repentance and coming together, we have the Song of Joy, which we just heard. And so Zephaniah tells of joyful praise due to the repentance and conversion of the people. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel the Lord is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. This is, in many respects, the same good news that John the Baptist is proclaiming in today's gospel reading. For the day of the Lord that Zephaniah foretold is now upon them. The King of Israel is coming into their midst. However, as with Zephaniah, John the Baptist is making it clear that for us to comprehend the significance of the good news, for us to be moved to rejoicing, we must first understand why the good news is so good. And that is because we are in need of the good news. We have fallen short of God's plan for us. Thus, John the Baptist tells his audience that they must not merely rely on their status, their birthright, as descendants of Abraham, just as we must not merely rely on our status as baptized people. Instead, they and we are called to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And according to John, the fruit worthy of repentance that they are called to bear is very simply to share. If they have two coats, share with someone who has none. And do the same with food. If you have more than you need, share with those who have less. Take no more than what is due to you. Do not extort. Do not cheat. That is what we are called to do, to bear fruit by sharing, by being honest, by being just. Though we try to share, and we must strive to do so, to share and to be honest, to not cheat, we know that we will fall short and we will need to be forgiven. And so John tells his audience that one who is more powerful than he is coming. And the one who is coming, the Messiah, will baptize them with Holy Spirit and fire. And that is good news. But how are we to find the good news in John's final words? That the one who is coming after him has his winnowing fork in hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. How do we find the good news there? Are we wheat? Are we the good grain that gets gathered into the granary? Or are we chaff that he will burn with unquenchable fire? Often when we hear scripture like this, when we think of separating wheat from chaff, we are drawn to the determination that there are two categories of people, the wheat and the chaff, the righteous and the wicked. But it is important to remember when hearing this scripture that the chaff is not foreign to the wheat. Each stalk of wheat has on it 10 to 20 grains. The fruit that it is spoken of as being gathered into the granary. And the grain there is what John is talking about Jesus gathering. But all of that fruit is covered by the chaff, the dry, inedible husk that covers each piece of grain. And it is the part of the wheat that does not bear fruit. What John is describing is a winnowing process. The winnowing by which the dry husk, the chaff, is removed from the good grain that it encases. We can think of it as a form of purification by which the unproductive or useless part of the wheat is separated from the good, productive part of the wheat. And we can recognize, when we understand that, that each of us is both wheat and chaff, both grain and chaff. Each of us is both righteous and wicked. And the good news is that we have a Savior who is coming with His winnowing fork in hand to free us from the chaff that encases our souls, the sin that sorely hinders us, so that we can bear fruit worthy of repentance. This is not about there being two categories of people, but there being within us both wheat and chaff that God comes to free us from. He has come and is coming and will come with Holy Spirit and fire to burn away the sin that separates each of us from God, so that we can become the good grain that God intends us to be. And that is good news.